Hey, thanks for showing up. I'm Lisa Whittle, and welcome to the Jesus Over Everything Show, affectionately known as Joe, where this season it is all about truth-telling, finding the good, and showing up for our lives today, no matter what has happened, even yesterday. A big thank you to my partner, Dwell, the incredible audio Bible app where you can go through the Bible in a year with one of their incredible plans, hear scripture based on exactly how you are feeling or what you're going through in your life, and most importantly, grow in your faith. Customize the voice you prefer, choose your preferred translation. Dwell is just incredible. They do it all. I listen to the Bible through Dwell almost every morning. Link to Dwell is in my show notes, or go to lisawhittle.com/Dwell, where you can sign up for our partner discount today. Oh man, our show today with speaker, coach, author of Breaking Free from Body Shame, and my dear friend Jess Connolly is right on time for the important season we're having and our discussion from Wednesday about showing up even when we don't love everything about our bodies. Jess and I are certainly showing up for this awesome combo. We do not mince words, talking about the two different body acceptance trends and culture, and where Jess weighs in with a different take. How shame plays into so much of our struggle with our bodies. And true to form with Jess, she coaches us so well about where to go from here. I loved our conversation so much. I know you will too. Such a powerful time together. Listen in now as we go for this crucial talk about our bodies. Full on. I'm really excited to have this conversation. The truth is, it was funny. When I was thinking about that, am I excited to have this conversation? I might not normally say that I was based on the subject, but because I'm having it with you, Jess Connolly, I am good with it. I feel this. I feel safe talking about my body with you.
That means a lot to me. That really blesses my heart.
So I feel like we're having this conversation for these women. All the women who want to talk about it but have not felt safe with anyone to do so. The women growing up in the church who have felt some type of weird shame over it. The women who do not even know if they are going to agree with either one of us about it yet. That's okay too, right? I think it's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because for whatever reason, Jesus could snap his fingers and we'd all agree, and he hasn't yet. So there's got to be some fruit and some growth for us in that we don't all agree.
Yeah, that's a good way for me to look at it. Yeah. So for as long as I have known you, which I don't even know how long that is, whatever, anymore, part of it's my brain, part of it's like social media world. Like, you know, you make like, did I meet them in college or did I meet them on Twitter? I don't remember. You know,
I love it. Yes.
It doesn't even matter, right? It literally doesn't matter. But as long as I have known you, whatever, who knows, I've known you to be about exercise and body care and such. But I perceived a shift in you with this about maybe, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago when you started doing bar. Now, this is from afar, so I could be wrong. My time frame could be wrong, whatever. Did I pick up on a shift correctly or no?
You know, yeah, I would say, yeah, some things did shift for me around the time I began doing bar. And interestingly, I wouldn't say it had a lot to do with me doing bar. It didn't have as much to do with bar, but it might have been around the same time. Okay. I would say for probably as long as I've known you, similarly, because I don't think we met before I started like really getting into book writing, which is now about 7 years that I've been in the publishing world. And for that whole time, I tell people, you know, my genesis into like, I need freedom here was when I wrote Wild and Free with Haley Morgan. And I wrote all the chapters on being wild, getting back to our identity in Jesus. And she wrote all the chapters on freedom. And privately, I would tell her kind of jokingly, like, I could never write the chapters on freedom, because there are so many areas where I'm struggling with freedom. And so we would just joke about that. Like, oh, I'm not the free girl. That's not it for me. And around that time is when I've always been, not always been, but for most of my adult life, I've been interested in fitness, and I've had to work really hard to take care of my body just because of some situations I have going on, an autoimmune disease, et cetera. And, but that was around the time where I was like, why don't I feel free here? What is happening? Why do I have freedom in all these other areas? Why do I believe for abundance and healing in all these other areas and not have it in this part of my life? And then I would say probably 3 to 4 years ago, maybe even 2 to 3 years ago, that freedom kind of had begun to rise to the surface. I'd already been working on it. I'd already been talking to God a ton about it, but the fruit started to pop up a good bit. Yeah.
Well, so I have noticed with myself that I have what I would call lies about the limits. So that's how I would frame it. Like lies about the limits. That's what I would call it. What are the lies about the limits you've noticed we have as women? Because I'll tell you my first one. I'll go first. They are that I cannot do bar and that I cannot run. Those are my two. And I know those are two things you do. Yeah. That I cannot do bar and that I cannot run. Those are my lies, lies about limits that I tell myself that I'm just going to out right now. What are some lies within the limits or lies about limits that women tell themselves when it has to do with their body?
Okay. So I hope this doesn't blow up the conversation, but this is the truest thing I can say. I would say when I started out, those were lies I had too, similarly. I'm not athletic. I'm at X, Y, and Z. I would say the actual biggest lie that I believe that women struggle with in their bodies currently is that whatever limits we do have are tied to our value and worth in the kingdom of God.
Okay.
Because the truth is, here's the deal. I don't want anyone to read Breaking Free from Body Shame and say like, that's it. I'm a runner. Like that's not the ultimate fruit. The ultimate fruit is saying like, my body is going to have limits and boundaries and it's still good. And I'm still worthy in the kingdom. Yeah. And whether I break past those or not, right? That's what matters. And so I would say just innately that our bodies exist living under the effects of a fallen world, they have limits. Yeah. And those limits do not determine our value and worth in the kingdom of God. And I would say that those limits are not directly tied to our abundance. So that may have blown up the conversation. But some other limits I feel like we have, I feel like a lot of the lies about the limits that we have a lot of struggles about fitting in, essentially fitting into what is the really painful part, because it's hard for us to acknowledge that we're essentially all going for some certain American aesthetic or Western aesthetic, and that we've like wrapped that up with holiness and righteousness somewhere in there. And some of us like really cannot ever attain that aesthetic. Like we're actually not ever going to be that. So I think we've got some lies there that we have to deal with. I think there are a lot of lies that we need to demolish about like what health is and what health will look like for kingdom women, for women who live in the kingdom. And then even like pulling that thread a little further, I think we've got some lies we've got to work through that have to do with like wanting it to be the same for everyone. We want health and freedom and wholeness to look the same for each of us as it does for everybody else. And that's not really something that's attainable either.
I love that we're talking about all this. And so I love where we started was, okay, here's my lie. I can't do bar. I can't run. But the reality is it's so much different than what I think we sometimes think, right? Because that's what we're really talking about. It's so that's like the object of what I think is really my lie. So it's like a template in my head, you know, because I think what we do is we kind of fixate on the one thing that feels attainable or that some maybe some woman that we really admire does, and we're like, well, I definitely can't do that, when it's really, you know, it's this whole sort of comparison thing that we're really dealing with, but we fixate on bar, or we fixate on running. I'm not picking on the things that you do. No. I'm just saying, like, to me, those really feel hard, you know? And I'm also glad we're talking about the fact of reality, which is sort of flipping the script on this, which is some people do have bad knees. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or some people do cannot run, truly cannot run. And so I think it's important to talk about this, because I want us to, I know you do, and I feel the same. It's like, I want us to live in the realities of where we are and what we are, because I do think too often we are made to believe we have to fit in this template of, like, you have to cheer your body this way, or you have to feel this way, or you have to post a picture this way, or you have to. And it's like, listen, what if I just do private, quiet work with God about my body? And I don't want to post a picture in a bikini on the beach. And I'm great that that's your process and you need to do that. But for me, I don't want to do that. Like, it's really deep for me, man. And I don't want to feel like I'm not working on it, or that I don't feel like my body is good. I just don't do it in that way, you know?
In Jesus' name. And that it's still, that's still holy and good and right. And also, some of us are in really different places in our processes. Can I give a current cultural example outside of this that I would just say, like, I hear you, I relate to you. We're on a podcast that is making a lot of waves right now, is The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Are you aware and knowing people are talking about this? It's a big thing.
I am so aware, and I've listened to every episode.
Okay, so I've actually never said this on a podcast episode before, so this is exclusive content, Lisa.
I love that more than anything.
Do you know that our family went to Mars Hill?
You know what? Now that you said it, that all came back to me. I didn't realize it. Now I remember. Okay,
If you guys are not aware, there's a podcast going on right now. It's having viral effects. It's really beautiful. It's about a church called Mars Hill that essentially imploded, a mega church that imploded. The podcast is really a beautiful look at what happens in potentially toxic church situations and how things can go bad. And it's beautifully done. It's been really good. So I'm just giving you a cultural example. It has been wildly therapeutic for myself, my husband and I lead a church staff. We've asked our church staff to listen to it. We've done a lot of healing work. We've talked to a lot of counselors about what it was like for us to be a part of that church and what it looked like for us to leave and what it looks like for us to still be a part of the church now. I cannot talk about that online in any way, shape, or form. Every time I see like a Twitter thread of people discussing it, or people like, I was here, let me tell you what it's, I cannot, it is so deeply important to me and close to me. So that's why I would say, like, I cannot post the bikini photo, that version of the Marshall podcast.
And I got it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, much.
It's deep. It means too much to me right now. It's like, I'm listening. So I would just say, yes, like, your freedom, your deep work can and will, and I would even venture to use the word should, look so different from other people's because we're all just different image bearers of God, really made in different ways. And so I just applaud and honor anyone who says, hey, my body is made by God, and I want to know more about that, and I want to understand His perspective on it, and I might even want to be a part of this conversation. I might want to be a part of like a sense of revival in our time, and that gets to look however you want it to look. That can happen in quiet and loud and big and small ways.
I think you are such a good shepherd of this message. I really honestly just don't know that I respect anybody more than you in the way that you lead. I mean, really, in the way that you lead this message, because, you're careful with it. You're also specific with it, and you're committed to it. And I appreciate that so much. Especially appreciate that because for me, this is really deep, and it takes probably more courage for me to talk about this than it does almost any other subject. I admitted for the first time in my new book, The Hard Good, that I struggled with bulimia and excessive exercise in college and onto seminary and into seminary. I felt such shame over this for so many years that it has taken me this long, 8 books, to even write it. And so here's what I say in the book. I want to read this small section for context. I say, speaking from experience, people born with the gift of a healthy body can become grossly entitled, nitpicking ourselves to death by the view from our blessed lens. When you don't have to worry about legs that work, you have the luxury of hating the way they look too thick at the ankle. This leads to such self-loathing and ingratitude. I hated my short legs my whole life, cruelly pushed them to get thinner. I've been on every diet that exists, not to mention bulimia, exercise, and over-exercise. I've never typed these words before now, but after what I put myself through in college, I owe my body at least enough to say it. Over the years, I've come to accept the legs I have, something no amount of deprivation or dieting will change. Yes, you can live with things you didn't ask for. Gratitude doesn't require preference. It requires acceptance. How much does shame culture, because I think I felt such great amounts of shame over it. How much does shame culture, even in the church, over even like a skewed sexuality, speaking of, you know, podcasts that we're listening to, play into how we have had this terrible struggle with our bodies?
Unfortunately, I mean, it's had a large effect, I would say. And the biggest issue is that I would say at best, Christian culture, and when I say that, I mean all of it. I mean churches, I mean leaders, I mean, you know, everything, books, podcasts, everything. People who would consider themselves mainstream, evangelical, people who would consider themselves on the fringes. I would say at best, we have practiced body ignorance. As a community, like, let's just don't talk about it, which anything in our lives that we say, like, just don't talk about it, just don't talk about it. Like that's what shame sounds like. Just don't talk about it.
Right.
Just don't talk about it. And the problem is that what happens when you say, like, just don't talk about something, we automatically assume a lot of really negative messages. And then when we just don't talk about something, outwardly spoken negative messages can take that much more root. So something really beautiful happens when we're talking about something a lot is that you might hear a lot of really good truth. You might hear a lot of really good words. And then occasionally you might hear something that doesn't sit right. But then you notice like that doesn't sit right because I'm hearing all these other good things. But because we've really struggled with this body ignorance, like let's just don't talk about it. What happens then is that any potentially negative thing spoken about our body has been the loudest thing because we don't have any good truth coming out about it. We don't seem to have, or we haven't really in the past had a predominantly open conversation about our body and theology. Like, what do we think God thinks about our body?
Yep.
What is his stance towards it? And so, yeah, I would just say all of those things have really let shame be very loud for specifically for women. But this is absolutely a struggle for men. Statistically, they say 97% of women struggle with body image issues and 95% of men. So they're just behind in the conversation. I would say for me, the biggest issue is it's led a lot of women to miss the character of God, to miss his kindness and his grace and his mercy. And it's really left a void open for us to write in a narrative about what God thinks about our bodies that is absolutely not in line with his word or his presence, his power, his spirit. I think it's led us to feel deeply fearful of our own bodies. I think it's led culture essentially to feel deeply fearful of women's bodies, to think of them as weapons and problems.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think shame has played a big role in this situation.
Okay, so I want to go into a more difficult deep dive. Are you willing to do it with me? Because
I'm ready. Yeah.
I know you're one of those people. I'm like, I know she'll go with me on this. She'll go in with me. She may not agree with me, but she'll go in with me and then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to tell you something that I talk about exclusives. I haven't said this on air anywhere, but here's the deal. So when I was going to film my Bible study for the Hard Good, not Jesus Over Everything. When I was going to film the Bible study for the Hard Good, I opted to do my own hair and makeup because we're remote. I just thought it'll be easier. I used to be a makeup artist. Why not? I'll save everybody some time and money and just let me just do it myself. It's fine. I don't care, whatever. And I was carrying probably about, I'm going to say 25 to 30 extra pounds from COVID, from, you know, for the quarantine and menopause, which I didn't realize at the time that I had begun because I had had a hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that, without going into detail, that was then going to be part of the equation. I mean, I'm telling you, Jess, rough time in my body. We'll just put it that way. Mm-hmm. I felt awful about how I looked. I felt literally awful. And so here I am, you know, I'm on one hand so convinced about this message that I'm supposed to preach. I'm so compelled. Like, this is something that God has put on my heart since 2018. Like, literally, especially the Bible study, especially because that's really how the whole even book came to be. But I'm fighting my own thoughts about how I looked and specifically about my body. Because here's the thing. In my mind, I'm thinking women are going to judge me. Because here's the thing. I know in my mind about what it's like to want to watch someone on video. And I'm thinking to myself that they're going to say, she's not as pretty and she's not as thin as that other Bible teacher. She doesn't look as good. I don't want to watch her. And Jess, I'm thinking to myself, even in Christian culture, we have a type.
Mm-hmm.
I told you this was deep.
I'm that's an easy amen. So can I ask you a counter question?
Yeah. I mean, this is a conversation. I want you to ask me a counter
question. Now we're in it. Yeah, so now I'll do body image coaching. Does that make you feel shame? Does that make you feel sad? Does that make you feel mad? What does that make you feel?
What's the
saying? In Christian culture, we have a type.
It grieves me because most of all, doesn't make me feel shame. It makes me, if anything, it makes me feel angry.
Yeah.
And it grieves me because here's why. One, it grieves me for anybody that feels like they have to fit that mold.
Yeah.
It grieves me for wasted time when the gospel's at stake. It grieves me for people who might watch and observe and think that's the template. That's what I have to look like if I want to preach the gospel.
Right.
And that is not correct. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can get, that makes me upset.
Yeah.
And it makes me upset that I would waste a minute of my time even thinking in that direction or feeling that way when I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't need to be worried about what I'm looking like or if my body has 10 to 30 extra pounds on it.
Okay, well, let me preach to your soul a little bit.
Are you coaching me?
I'm going to coach you a little bit. I am, number one, obviously deeply sorry that you felt that way while filming, but I'm deeply sorry because that was hard for you. And that, like, that's not a great feeling to have.
Right.
But that being said, we cannot experience bravery and we can't experience bravery until we're scared, and we can't experience kingdom freedom until we've experienced bondage, until we've seen the bondage, right? Like,
right.
Until we acknowledge, right, like, it's there. So that you felt it and that you showed up and taught is everything. That you did it, that you were a part of the change, that you said, like, I actually will not consent, even if it didn't feel like this. We're going to put those words. I'm going to write this over what you did. I do not consent to this lie from the pit of hell that for someone to use their God-given gifts, they must fit current cultural aesthetics. I do not consent to that lie. I will show up and I will use what God has given me. Then I'm so incredibly relieved and blessed for every woman that saw it and said, like, I look like Lisa, or like, Lisa looks real to me. Lisa looks honest. Because also that is how we change culture. Not that we want, I don't want women 10 years from now, 20 years from now saying, like, oh, she looks like me, I can do it. I want women 10 years from now, 20 years from now saying, like, I can do it because God called me to it, which the only way we're going to get there is if we break those cultural ideas, which is if we have the conversation and women just start showing up and use their gifts. So that's so incredible. But here's the other thing, is that I want you to hear me say this, is that I have deep compassion that you felt that way and that you let God use you anyways. I don't feel like, oh man, what's wrong with Lisa that she spent a minute worrying about that, because you were born into this struggle and brought into your calling underneath those constraints. And it's our generation that's standing up and saying, like, no, 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 no more. But I just want to say, like, for anyone who's like, oh yeah, because I hear women say that a lot. I hear women say, like, I hate that I've spent a minute of my life thinking about this. Or like, I'm just sick over the fact that I think like this. And I want to say, like, hey, just be really careful, because we don't want to shame ourselves for the shame. We don't want to live under shame about the shame, because we were born into this fight. We didn't start it. None of us woke up at 3 years old and were like, I just want to hate my body. We were actually taught to by culture and by everyone around us and by the actual enemy of our souls. And we're not going to be the ones that finish the fight. Jesus is. But I just want to say, like, that moment that you described, I feel the, like, oh, I'm sorry, that hurt. I can't, that is a horrible moment to live through. But I'm so grateful that you did. And I'm so grateful that because you did, potentially 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, when there's not going to be a type, in Jesus' name.
You know, I mean, so much appreciate your words. And honestly, Jess, you know, my personality, and I think you can get this, you and I have similar threads of personality. For me, you know, where I end up usually with these kinds of things are, I want to take on the absolute and smash that whatever idol is there or whatever lie is there or, you know, whatever, because I don't want women that I love so much in this world, Christian women, followers of Jesus who are my kindred, to see a type. And I don't want to perpetuate a type. And so I know what was hard for me, God will use. I mean, the greatest irony, it's the hard, good Bible study. It's like, I couldn't have even planned it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for it to have been so hard, and, you know, it's so crazy because the wind was crazy and I felt like it was boxing me to death. And here, you know, here I'm feeling like, you know, I look anything but a professional photo shoot, I can tell you that. But, and I don't know how the videos will turn out, but here's what I do know. I do know that, and it's not about getting your makeup done professionally. Who cares? Like, I'm not against that. I've had that done too. This is really about just saying, listen, let's be who we are. Let's be ourselves. Let's let God heal the broken places. And, I don't know if that can help anybody. If anyone is listening going, thank you for a real and honest conversation about this. I knew, Jess, you would have it with me. So thank you. I want to ask you about this one thing I've been wanting to ask you about. I have a belief system. You may not agree with me, but I'd love to know your thoughts on this. And it kind of ties in with what I just read a minute ago. And that is, I believe that we have had this strict demand of ourselves that before we will accept our bodies, that we have to absolutely love everything about them. So we have to prefer everything about them. So I have to prefer everything about my body before I'm willing to accept it. And so for me, I guess I felt like for so much of my life, I was waiting on this magical moment where I would suddenly, it would click on for me. Like suddenly I'm going to love it. I'm going to love everything. And so I tied in to that, you know, if I don't love everything, you don't really accept it, you know? And it was, again, this lie that was in my head. I believe it was a lie. And one day I realized, no, I don't have to love everything. I can accept it right now because it's not about preference. I don't have to prefer it to still accept it and still be grateful. And gratitude does not require preference. And so that's my belief system. What do you think?
Yeah. So just to put some like language to it, here's where I land. And again, that's just putting terms to what you're saying. So the body positive movement, incredible movement that started in the 60s, has led to so much freedom. The body positive movement is why we see Aerie like has plus size models and Dove has women with cellulite. The body positive movement is the most wildly accepted of the like tenets about, you know, in culture regarding body positivity. And the body positive movement is similar to what you're saying, essentially saying like, it's all good. You got to love it. Just love it. Just love it. So a few years ago, there rose up kind of this other movement called the body neutrality movement, which is essentially saying like, hey, it's not possible for all of us to love our body, to prefer it the way you're saying. I love that language to say like, this is my favorite. I just love it. The body neutrality movement says like, hey, it's better if you could just feel neutral about your body. And again, both of these are totally secular movements. It's better if you could just not feel anything about it, if you could just not ascribe value to it one way or the other. So I personally have made up a phrase. I want to be very clear about that. I am not in any way a psychologist, and I have made up a phrase that gives me definition for saying my worldview, and that is I subscribe to a kingdom body mindset, a kingdom body mindset. And how this is different for me is that I do love my body, and I love it in the way that I love my husband, meaning that I don't feel love all the time, but that I do choose love and faithfulness and devotion. But the difference for me, the wild difference, is that I am not loving my body because I prefer it, because it's cute, because love, because I just feel it. I am coming under alignment with God's word and character and the nature of the kingdom. And that worldview for me says that God made my body with intention and called it good. And that was it. That was the final word over like my value, my worth as a flesh. Now I live under the effects of the fallen world. So since being born, I have been affected by aging and sickness and environment. The true nature of what he called my body is still good, but it experiences pain and it experiences weakness and it experiences harm. So I can choose to still come under alignment with that main name that he gave me of good, but I live in the kingdom. So I have to know what the king thinks about my body. And I personally believe that the king is going to wipe away every tear, that he's genuinely grieved about the way that I experience sickness and harm and pain, but that he still loves my body and he still made it with intention. So that being said, what falls flat for me about true body positivity, this idea like that, oh, I prefer it, similar to what you're saying, is that number one, I don't. There's things about my body that I don't like necessarily prefer. For example, I do not prefer to have an autoimmune disease. I would actually very much like to not have that. There's smaller things that I don't prefer. But the deafening roar of the Lion of Judah has spoken over my life and has said, it's good, it's holy, it's mine, don't talk bad about it. And I look to him and I say, yes, sir, amen. So I may not prefer it, but I'm going to talk about it like it's his.
So I'm not going to talk bad about it. I'm not going to defame it. I'm going to treat it as if it's good. I'm going to figure out what that looks like for me, because that's going to look different for everybody, going back to the beginning of our conversation. But it's about the kingdom. It's not about how I feel. It's about the kingdom. And it's, I don't have to fake myself into feeling any kind of way about it. Now, what happens is the more I learn about the king and the more I learn about the kingdom, the more I learn about his character and his kindness and his goodness, the gratitude does come. But it's not this like fake, like, okay, I'm going to just say like, okay, thank you, God. Like I heard this great quote one time, like gratitude isn't a tool for us to fake it as we make it, to fake it till we make it, you know, like we don't have to be like, okay, I'm grateful. But like once I know about the king and once I understand the kingdom and once I understand what I can do in my body, then the gratitude really does just well up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, everything's about the kingdom of God. So, I mean, it makes sense. Of course, our bodies would be about the kingdom of God. I mean, you know, we are a fully created being by our creator, body, mind, soul. And I love the fact that in 1 Thessalonians, he literally lists our facets. So we don't have any mistake. There's no mistaking. Wait, what all is created? Oh, it's our body, mind, and soul. It's like the whole thing. So it makes sense that you have to pay attention to every single facet. I mean, that's the whole thing, and it all works together. And if one thing isn't paid attention to, but not in a way of guilt. And I think that's where, you know, the breakdown has been for a lot of people, a lot of women who, you know, there's been guilt, shame, but whatever the case may be, attached to that one facet, especially. I think for men, it's been mind in a lot of ways when it has to do with sex or porn or whatever. Not that it's not been for women, but I think maybe that's been a harder, more of a shame area for them. For us, I think body has been more of a thing for us, shame-wise. Now, I mean, obviously, the stats say men struggle too, but I think shame-wise, there's so much culturally attached to women and our bodies and objectivity and all the stuff, you know, abuse, like all the things on women with our bodies. So I do think that makes sense as well. I just want to say that, you know, when I say acceptance versus preference, acceptance to me is not body neutrality at all. Like to me, that is agreeing with the Lord about our bodies. I agree with you. So to me, I don't really know that I align with either body positivity as far as the way the culture goes or body neutrality, because I would align with your body kingdom philosophy, because body neutrality, I don't think we could accept it in the way God created us if we were neutral about it. There's nothing neutral when you're in agreement with God. You know what I mean? Like, we can't be neutral.
I don't feel neutral about anything. I don't feel neutral about anything. It's great.
We usually roll for or against, don't we, Jess? We're like for or against. That's the way we roll. Well, you are such a faithful teacher of loving our bodies. Love your book, Breaking Free from Body Shame. I wanted you on here because I wanted to talk about bodies. This is a conversation that the church needs to be having. And my view is that, you know, when the church doesn't begin to speak on things, then a culture begins to drive the conversation. And this is where I believe that the church has gaps. And everybody knows that I love the church. And that's why I speak directly, so directly, and pour my life into the church, because I love us so much. I love her so much. And I just want to encourage us as a church to step in and lead conversations rather than respond to the conversations culture has. And I just believe we would be having a different level, I believe, of healing and influence if we would lead this conversation rather than respond to it. And so I just wonder if you could just take a couple of minutes as a good coach and maybe speak to the woman who is saying, I really want to get to a place that you're talking about, even, you know, in this first sort of step. Tell me something that would be a great nugget for me to hear.
So good. The biggest thing that I hear women really struggling with is how they feel. And that's real. I'm a feeler and I get it. But I find so many women not wanting to take the steps towards truth, towards God's truth, or towards even freedom, just because they don't feel free or they don't feel like their body is good. And so I would just say this is not at all me saying your feelings don't matter. They do. How you feel matters. Your emotions matter. God's emotional. I love that about him. He has emotions. But we get to, there is an invitation for us past just continually responding to how we feel. And the great news about being women who love God and follow God is that our minds are transformed by the renewing power of his word. And so I would just say there is an invitation for you past just how you feel today, that you, I do actually believe in Jesus' name, you could feel differently about your body. I believe it will take having your mind renewed by the power of his word. I think it may take changing some rhythms and patterns and even conversations. But I do absolutely believe that you could feel differently about your body one day. And I wouldn't be doing this work if I didn't think so. And that I'm so thrilled to be able to like raise my hand and say, I feel differently about my body now. I feel free. I'm still tempted often to step back into bondage. I'm still often tempted to believe lies. But for the majority of my life, I feel free from body shame. And I would want that for you as well.
So good. This is why your book, Breaking Free from Body Shame, and The Hard Good are cousins. They go so yeah, well together, yeah, because it's all about, you know, I mean, The Hard Good is really all about how our feelings are such an important gauge, but when they become godlike in our life, that's, and they begin to sort of overtake us and take control of us, that becomes just a out of God's beautiful original plan. And so I love that you mentioned that, because that's such an important thing, whether it be about your body or whether it be, you know, whatever hard thing that you're dealing with in your own life. It's just so important to be able to have those feelings in the God-given proper place that they belong, not sort of controlling you and running you, but in their proper place as a gauge and kind of helping you know what needs to be taken care of. And that's when they operate so well. So I love that. And it's so, so beautiful. It has been a joy to have you on, Joe, again. I knew we'd have an amazing conversation, and we did. You know this because I asked this of every guest, and I asked it last time to you. But you know, there's the thing about Jesus. We're always somewhat in a different spot, I think, with the Lord. And I always am in a different place with the Lord, maybe a year later or whatever. So I'm gonna ask you again, Jess, what is the last thing that you would say about Jesus if you could only say one more thing today?
He's a good friend. I'd say he's a good friend.
He sure is. He is a good friend. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for having a hard conversation with me, but one that is an important conversation that the church needs to be having. And thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. You've listened to the show at the perfect time. I've got bonus gifts for you. Want a free guide to help you with your church hurt, your body struggles, your jealousy, or your grief? This is just one of the amazing bonuses you get when you order The Hard Good. So head to lisawhittle.com/good to grab it now.